All right. Okay, welcome and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Rivulus Irrigation Training Series. I'm your host, Richard Restuccia, and today we're going to be talking about a lot of my favorite things. First of all, we're going to be talking about baseball, or at least a very famous baseball stadium. Number two, we're going to be talking about water management for that stadium. And number three, we're going to talk about managing water without really touching irrigation. And I find that fascinating. I know most of you as irrigators find that fascinating too. But look, we know that we have to keep reaching and improving and changing processes to be better water managers. And this certainly is a big part of the water management for us. So we're really lucky today because I'm bringing in as my guest, Parker Cohen today, and he's a soil management expert, and he helps not just baseball fields, but a lot of farmers and a lot of golf courses with their quality of their soil, and as a result, gets a lot better water management, not to mention reduction in chemicals, energy, and labor use. So it's really the full circle of management on the farms. And he's got some great case studies. He does carbon capture as well. So helping these growers to reduce their carbon footprint. So definitely what I appreciate about Parker. And it's funny, John Petrozzo from Maisie put me on to Parker. And I was really glad that he did. He said, there's a really good guy in San Diego, right person, Parker Cohen, that knows what's going on right now. And you ought to have him on a guest as your webinar. So I called Parker. He agreed to come on, and I'm really happy about that. But Parker has really done two things that I admire. One, his research this really well. But number two, putting that research into some sort of application is really the key. And he's done that as well. And we're lucky he's going to share that with us today. So, Parker, welcome. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for such a great introduction. Hopefully I can fill those. Those are some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I know you will. You know, I'm a big fan. And so, Parker, that's one thing I know our audience of irrigators is wondering. Now, how in the world do we reduce water use by looking at things in the soil? Now, I know we have a concept of that, but what we're looking for is more details today. But, you know, in general, how do you answer that question for people who aren't familiar with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one of the things that we really leverage is we integrate with the existing irrigation system, regardless of whether you're doing flood irrigation, micro drip emitters, subsurface drip emitters, overhead irrigation. We integrate with the irrigation system and design, you know, a way to make applications that wouldn't be feasible economically with the labor possible.
Yeah,
by utilizing the existing infrastructure.
Well, very, very nice. That's very interesting. And I know we're all anxious to get into it and learn more about that.
Right on. Yeah, sounds good. We'll get started here. So we'll kind of start with a high level of why PRM exists, what really started this all. And we're really inspired by impact and how can we make the biggest impact on the largest scale possible with the relatively short amount of time that we have in our professional career. So what we've found, what I was able to discover, is the soil is our most underutilized asset. This applies for farms, golf courses, sports fields, but we improve the health of the soil, we can save water, we can improve the health of populations by providing more nutrient-dense food, and we can cycle more carbon, take more carbon out of the air, put it back in the soil and into crops.
So that's good to hear, right? It's not just pouring a bunch more water on it. So
yeah, true. And there's kind of the climate side is twofold. So when we start cycling more carbon, we see our plant matter go up, our soil carbon go up. But we also see substantial reductions in field prep cost, meaning when you have a soil that is healthier, it's less compacted, it's less like concrete and more like this topsoil you would find in your garden, where we actually reduce the amount of fuel burn by the one time we measured this for a farmer that specifically required it, it was 30% savings of diesel fuel on
the field. Wow, that's a lot. Now, before we get a little further into this, I want to mention a couple of things. So Performance Resource Management is your company. You actually founded it, is that right?
I did, yeah. It's been about 8 years now.
Wow, that's great, because we know a lot of the new startup businesses don't make it past five. Once you make it past five, you know you've got a good concept and the process is working. So, and the timing might be right on this for you too. I mean, you started at a really good time.
Yeah, certainly was early, but all the environmental changes that we're seeing happening, the extreme droughts, you know, the more severe and wet springs that we've had really created opportunities for us to provide value for our customers.
Yeah. And just the popularity of this, and I don't mean to say popular, but just awareness of the importance of this, I think, is growing every day. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Coronado Film Festival was just this last weekend, and the premiere film that they had was on regenerative farming Sunday night. So I don't know if you saw that or not, but I mean, that just shows the awareness that's happening right now.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I just took a note. Just took a note there.
Yeah.
So then kind of that's where we started, was really how do we make a really big impact? And we found that's the soil. So little bit of company background. We work with farms, as Richard said earlier, golf courses and professional sports fields. And our results include reducing input costs, improving plant health, and improving the health and safety of players or workers or consumers of the end product, whether it's a vegetable or a loaf of bread. So we're going to focus on Oracle today. You know, all the slides moving forward are just going to be on Oracle Park. And, you know, I think it's a really kind of exciting, and a lot of people can relate to it, because a lot of us have been able to enjoy time there with family and friends.
Yeah, definitely. So two things I want to mention that are interesting to me. One is that when you help a farm or a golf course or a professional sports field, you're actually helping all of us, right? We are all benefiting from that, and that's great. And then also my old company, Valley Crest, many years ago did this installation at Oracle. And boy, we were sure proud of that that installation, that's for sure.
Very cool. Right on. Yeah, it's cool to be able to touch so many, you know, from down the value line. So biggest highlight that we can kind of cover is with Oracle Park is the Integrated Pest Management Achievement Award, that they were the first sports field to ever be issued this by the California Department of Pesticide Regulations. And where we were able to help is we were able to be a primary component for the state recognition that Oracle Park received for their state recognized weed management initiative. So we can kind of, this is the big highlight. And there was quite a bit of buzz around this, but what really caused that was this problem that we solved for them, which was black layer. So the substance of that award are these numbers that you're seeing on the screen. And those numbers stem from the photos here. You can see in the top left was 2021. We went out and we measured black layer across the field, and here it's about an inch and a quarter thick of anaerobic organic material black layer, also known as black layer, which is anaerobic. It's restricting root growth. It's locking nutrients up. It's creating a perched water table and an unstable playing surface. So black layer is the main reason that sports fields, particularly the Giants, have to renovate their field and rebuild their field, you know, rip it out and put a new one in.
Yeah, very expensive, time consuming, and takes a lot of labor. But help me make this connection. I don't understand how this actually reduces pesticide use.
Good question. So check out the photo on the top left. That's where we started. And then this photo was from September of 2023. Black layer has been eradicated. It's gone. So black layer creates an environment that harbors pests and disease from standing water, right? Because the water is not flowing through the profile. So you have an environment that's ripe for disease, for fungus. And also it's ripe for pests or bugs to lay. You know, standing water is really where our pests really come from. So when you eliminate that environment or that perched water table caused by the black layer, the root cause of the issue for why we're spending so much on fertilizer and pesticides, or fungicides and pesticides, once that black layer is gone, now the water is draining through the profile, the root zones are expanding, the nutrients are more readily available for the plant, and the soil health being the big thing that moved the needle here is specifically about how that water can be managed on the field now.
Wow. So I'm thinking that if I went around to almost any field or any golf course or any home that had turf, I might find a black layer there.
You could. So the black layer is exacerbated by how much the field is used. So they have these, you know, Oracle Park, they host over 300 events a year. Only 81 of those are baseball games. So, so when you use the field so often, you're really putting that turf under stress. And when you see, you know, more compaction and more use, you see exacerbation of these things like organic matter or black layer in the profile.
Yes, yeah, so I'm also looking at this photo and I'm thinking, can the roots get through that black layer, or do we just have a really shallow rooted turf in this situation?
Yeah, you have a really shallow rooted turf in this situation. So the roots, they're like 1 to 2 inches tops, and they're not penetrating through that black layer. That black layer is restricting them, which roots need some airflow, and that black layer doesn't, which it doesn't allow. If there were airflow, it wouldn't be black.
Yeah.
So the anaerobic part is it's lacking oxygen and it's breaking down. So we go from having to manage a field that has to look, you know, perfect on TV for these ball games, where you're managing a root that is, you know, 1 inch to 2 inches, where now without that black layer, now you're able to manage much greater soil volume or that root zone, and manage your water, have a more healthy, resilient plant just naturally from so much more root mass.
Yeah. And so also, you know, from the baseball terminology side, I also think about truer hops, less errors, and real performance coming out of the team that's improved.
Yeah. So when you start managing a field that has, you know, much more resilience, you can make that infield quite a bit faster by drying it out a little bit more, because the roots are now pulling moisture from, you know, a much greater volume of soil than they were before. So you can really push the turf further, it can recover faster, and they can host more events, which is a lot of money to the organization.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things at the end of the year, right, for the World Series winning team is they get extra money for that, right? They get a lump sum bonus. And it's always fun to hear when they give a portion of the bonus or an equal portion of the bonus to the groundskeeper, because it really does have a lot to do with how the team plays.
Yeah, and that creates a really cool culture too, being able to be around that and experience that. I didn't know about that before. I just switched slides so the group can kind of see this a little more up close of what that black layer looks like, how thick it was, and then what the soil profile looks like now, you know, 2 years into, you know, running one of our programs.
Yeah. And I just want to remind everybody, I've got the Q&A open. So if you've got some questions for Parker, type them in there and I'll ask them when appropriate. I guess the next logical thing here, Parker, for me to ask is, well, how do you get from before to after? What do you guys do in order to make that black layer go away?
Yeah. So from the beginning, the before picture, this is when we were out there doing a baseline assessment. It's where we start with each of our customers. We go out, we identify the problems in the soil. We go back to the drawing board, figure out a solution that's going to work and cure these issues, you know, to reach a desired outcome, which is what you see on the right. And so what we do is we designed and installed a a system to incubate or ferment, think bioreactor, to ferment bacteria, you know, that is desirable, that will help break down that black layer, reduce the compaction, improve the soil health and the resulting turf health, to make a more resilient field. And we install that in an injection system and control system. So we go out and we're putting out live active biology that's targeting this problem every time the water runs. And this is when the irrigation system runs. And this is when, and we put out a concentrate when we're hand watering, because a lot of the areas that have the black layer get extra attention from the field. And what we do really integrates into the management, team, because now they don't have to worry about mixing spray tanks, exacerbating compaction with extra passes of, you know, putting out. We put out between 6,000 and 8,000 gallons a year of product on this field. So you can imagine if you were spraying that with a spray rig, how much damage the field would have just from that extra traffic. And then you're relying on equipment to be able to perform.
Yeah. So a couple of questions on that are coming in. The first one is this like a compost tea or something?
So compost tea is it's a good analogy. It's similar. So what we do is we design our products in a lab. The problem with compost tea that I see is just your quality of product varies so much because the inputs for the compost are very seasonal. And they're also depend on where you live geographically, what's going to be in that compost. Are you near a dairy? Are you near a chicken farm? You know, where is this organic matter coming from and how consistent is it? So we've removed the variability by sourcing specific bacteria strains and processing them combined with food source, so we can replicate exactly what we want to achieve the desired outcome.
Yeah, interesting. So then the other thing is this can be dispersed through most of these irrigation systems for ball fields or big pop-up rotors. This is how you're able to do this?
Yeah, and on a golf course, you know, you have thousands of pop-up rotors. So that's where we're able to make applications, you know, across all the playing surfaces without having to use any labor, without having to use spray rigs, without having to, you know, really cause any more stress to a crew that's already is overworked and has expectations of that are so high already.
Yeah, interesting. So yeah, so somebody's making a comment too that outside the U.S. they've developed something that does 100% natural weed control that increases organic carbon content, nitrogen fixing bacteria. Seems like some other people are working on this around the world as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's been a lot of work that's been done over in Europe on, you know, for biological remediation of pests and disease that we see more of. So kind of bridging off of that, some other results you see from the improved health of the soil profile and not having that black layer, having more nutrient availability, having more flow of the water, more percolation, if you will, is we've eliminated wetting agents from the program at Oracle Park. And we've eliminated costly mineral oil applications or the product Civitas. We've been able to eliminate those from the shelf, or, you know, from use of those by 100%. And we see fertility reduction just because we have such a healthier profile. We have so much more nutrients available now that we have a soil profile, that we saw 50% savings of fertilizer, which also translates to labor. So a couple of the biggest problems that everybody's got in the game is especially golf courses with water, both quality and quantity that they can get, and also labor. Like, it's hard to, I haven't seen a course fully staffed in years.
Hmm. Right, right. Definitely. Same for farming, same probably for the sports fields, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's challenging. So here's kind of how this translates to labor savings, which might be interesting, is we haven't sorted the umpire boxes. This is where they stand on the foul lines in 2 years. Huh. And we also have not had to sod the outfield between concerts, which that's a whole day that you would have to have off that you can now host another event.
Yeah, and you know, the umpire boxes, that has somebody standing in it for the total 3 hours of the game, not really moving much, and a lot of compaction can occur from that.
Mm-hmm.
We have another question coming in, and it has to do with injection of your application. Is there a particular injection system that you like, that you use? Will you work with any of them? Does it have to be one in particular?
So this, in our baseline assessment, we design the injection system that we'd use for that specific application. There's a handful. I'm not sold on one being better than the others, or, you know, my experience is every supplier I've worked with has been great. Usually based on our application, we're running at rates that just aren't standard. Our rates are so much higher than, you know, I was at another property the other day, and we're going to have to use a combination of pumps to achieve, you know, hundreds of gallons an hour flow rate, which a lot of injection systems are, you know, measuring in PPM.
Right.
It's just a whole nother scale. I'm sorry, did that get to the question, or did
yeah, they... right. I mean, there isn't one that you have to have, is really the answer. You'll work with just about all of them.
Yeah, and we really integrate with the folks that already, so we work with the groups that already supply service to the pump systems to design a control system together that's gonna be the most effective and efficient from a cost and function perspective for our customers.
Okay, great.
So here's another couple photos of the mound. The area in front of the mound gets a lot of traffic from pitchers, you know, after they throw the ball, they catch the ball, walk back up onto the mound. And so you can kind of see where the sod lines were before. And this is another example of how we've really been able to improve. We'll do a close up here. The turf density. So when you improve the health of the soil, you see all these benefits that kind of a domino effect of benefits. And this is one of the most visual areas on the surface where you can see the results.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what you were able to do there in just a year's time. And I think you can also see, you know, that there's a lot of soil that moves from the pitcher's mound down into the turf. And it seems like you're not getting, you know, you're getting much better drainage on the right-hand side, not to mention, you know, just aesthetically, it looks so much better.
Yeah, it's one of the best spots to visit. So we've got some high level impact that we've had that PRM's been able to make at Oracle Park, which hosts over 300 events a year. Keep that in mind as we go through each of these talking points, is how can we use this field more? What will improve the resilience of this field so it doesn't need as much maintenance and labor in between these events? So improving the resilience of the field, extending the field life, and saving millions in renovation costs. Now, there's also a revenue factor here that I'm blind to, but I know that if each of these events that they're doing is hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that are coming in to the park. So you see a substantial cost savings in the millions, and then you see, you know, a greater upside. You're increasing the profit margin of the operation pretty substantially.
Yeah, I'm interested too in the safety, especially of the players. I know some owners, and they talk about the investment they make in their players, and especially the impact players who are making millions every year. You want to keep them safe. You don't want them taking any risks that they shouldn't be. And gosh, a bad hop, turning in the outfield to catch a ball, hurt a knee, things like that. How does this increase the safety, and how do you measure that?
Yeah, so we'll measure that in the soil profile, which is kind of already what you've seen a little bit of. Going any more technical there, I don't think would be a whole lot of benefit, but the Oracle Park actually uses this company, Raw Stadia, which has a product called an artificial athlete. So what they do is they have Raw Stadia branded tools that they send out to you, and you go out and take measurements in different areas of the field. And some of them is like the sheer strength, the firmness. They've got a version, their own version of a clay hammer. There's a handful of tools that they send you, and they compile all that data to show an improvement. You know, how are you tracking? Are you improving playing conditions? Are you making them safer? Or are some of the practices that you're doing actually making the turf less stable that you'd see with the shear, you know, less firm, which would slow the ball down, slow the playability of the ball down in the field. Also traction, you'd slip out more if the field wasn't as firm. So these statements are really quantified by the Raw Stadia data from the artificial athlete, which is really cool. And I haven't heard of a lot of adoption. They use it over in Europe quite a bit. They use it over in Europe, but I hope to see more adoption of this to create, you know, a standardized way, as we have with soil, you know, beneath the turf, but more specialization. And how do we standardize and make the most safe playing surface and increase the performance? How do our management practices affect those? I think it's a great tool.
Super cool. Didn't exist in the cow pastures I used to play in, but much needed. Would have been really appreciated back then.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a result of, you know, all this data collection and these new technologies and management practices, as we see an increase in playability, you know, increase in plant health, rooting, nutrient availability, recovery between events, the ability for the grounds crew to control the conditions of the field a lot more than they were able to before. It's a lot more, think of it as a much more proactive way of managing your field, rather than you pull those high traffic mats up and you've got disease and you've got a sod, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 square feet, right? Before tomorrow, tonight, under the lights, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, Greg will say, it's kind of like taking your vitamins is promoting the health of the soil.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great analogy. And then I love some of your photos here. You actually see the abuse the field takes when they have a concert. You see that layout of the concert. Wow. That's a lot of people on second base and in center field, you know, right up the alley there.
Yeah, so the stage is out in center field, and all this white that you see is high traffic padding that's supposed to distribute the compaction from all these humans out there on the field. And you can see the infield's actually blocked off. So yeah. they keep the folks off the interior part of the infield. And then in this lower photo, I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but they'll host these golf events where they'll mow in features for specific fundraiser events that have to do with golf.
Yeah, Petco does that here in San Diego a couple times a year, and I always think, how in the world do they do that, and why would they take that risk? But there it is.
Right, it's quite the spectacle to look at, and you see there's the logos out there on one of the greens. It's kind of shaped like a heart in the center. Rare to see the Giants logo out there. But simple economics at the end of the day is really what's made this work. You know, this improving the resilience of the field and the ownership and managers being able to throw a number out there that's pretty insane from a return on investment perspective.
Right. Because if you own that stadium, you want to have somebody in it 365 days a year. I mean, you want to be selling those tickets and admitting people in. So it's great that you guys are able to come along and help make that happen.
So here we'll just go over our process for those watching. This is the system at Oracle Park that we've installed. So we start with a baseline assessment. This is where we go out, we assess the physical, chemical, biological aspects of the soil and the turf to be able to then put together a report, design our system, and present our customer with a contract. That's kind of step two. Step three is then sourcing and installation. So this is where we, source our tank, source our injection system. You can see the controller out here on the wall, and the pump is mounted back here. We install and then we manage over the course of the growing season. So we go out and make sure that our system's running properly, that we're seeing the results in the field. You can see I'm measuring right there. I'm measuring black layer. That was back in the first year, making sure that we're actually achieving the results that we want to. And so without that, we have really packaged the business up to be a service, because I don't see how you can achieve these kinds of results and make changes on the fly if you don't have that data incoming. And all the time we've spent to figure this out, it's just best to manage the systems after they've been installed.
So Parker, we've got another question coming in, and it has to do with a farm. Would the grower's installation look very similar to this installation, or does it change because it's a farm?
So fundamentally, this will look the same. This is a ball field. So we're talking about 2 acres, a substantial black layer problem. So relatively large system. We're putting out 30, 40 gallons a night. Sometimes upwards of 80. So this is why installing our injection system is really important. So same problems when I go out to a farm is, oh, we've got an injection system, we've got power, we've got all this stuff. And well, the flow rate on the pump needs to be 3 times what its max is. And it's pumps that are a few years old don't do their max flow anymore. So that's where we really come in and install the infrastructure that's going to make the program successful.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. That's great. So you guys really spec that, and you do the installation, or somebody else does the installation?
Yeah. So we spec it out, we design it, we do the installation. If we have to hire in trades, there's certain stuff that we don't touch. We got to run some power. We got to do some welding on a line, to put an injection port in there. We'll have that done. And we have partners and regionally that help us out.
Yeah, that's great. And you guys will do this work anywhere in the US?
So yeah, I just got back from, our focus and emphasis is in the Southwest,
right?
California, Arizona, Nevada. We have some business over in Hawaii on the islands. And I just got back from an East Coast trip, talking to some ball fields over on the East Coast. So most important thing is that it's irrigated land. Now, there's some farmers on here, but the dry land farming is just, it's too much management to have consistent results out there on those. So I kind of made this slide for a discussion. If there were any more questions on the process, we could go through that, or we could steer into this discussion.
Yeah, I'm really curious on this one. So I'm anxious to hear this.
Okay, so here's one of our systems on the top left. You can see the bubbles, the amino acids being produced by the biology in the water. And this slide is titled Dispelling Biostigma. So here's what we've designed that works. And we have, a lot of research and a lot of publications and, relationships with water districts for water rebates, and quite a few, the award from the Department of Pesticide Regulations. So I think it'd be fun for the audience to dispel some of the stigmas and clear the air on some topics. We covered compost tea a little bit earlier. You know, compost consists of two things. It's organic matter and it's the biome or the network of microbacteria and fungi that's breaking it down. And compost is great. We see huge adoption, huge uptake in compost in agriculture. Over the last few years, you know, you've got to be really ahead if you want to get compost out on your field. Some farmers are even taking composting into their own hands, you know, and doing their own compost now. The compost tea aspect we kind of covered, where you have inconsistent inputs, which will lead to inconsistent outputs.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to make something that's very consistent and predictable, I just don't see, I've seen it be effective, but at scale, right? We're talking thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres. How do you do something that works every time?
Right.
I just don't see that. I do see benefits. I do see, you know, small scale stuff. And if you have a good compost supply, not to say there's not a compost supplier out there near you that can provide you with really consistent compost that you can have a great product. You know, it's certainly a tool. And then bugs in a jug. here's two points which I have fought every day since even before I, you know, founded my company and I was doing stuff with soil biology is you get the bugs in a jug stigma and the snake oil stigma, because stick with bugs in a jug first. So what is it that you're buying? Is there research to support the claims? Are there case studies, right? With bugs in a jug, the main problem that I see of, and there are large fertilizer companies that are putting strains of bacteria in fertilizer sources, right? And making claims about it.
Right.
But if it's a closed system, this guy's going to run out of air. That's the guy, the little ant that's inside. He's going to run out of air. He's going to run out of food.
Right.
How much shelf life does this have? Does this product have? You know, what is it? Is it something that you go and you get, you have to use it within 30 days? I think shelf life is the main question I have. Shelf life and activity level. Like, is it actually live, what you're putting out there? Is it replicating? Is it dormant? Is it going to come alive? Are you feeding? Is it a food source or a sugar for the microbes that are already out in the field? You know, those are some questions to ask. And then snake oil, another, right? When we come out and we make all these claims, I make a lot of claims, improve nutrient availability and absorption. Like, we've got data that backs that. Reduce compaction. Tons of data that can, you know, you start layering these things on, reducing fertilizer. That has to do with nutrient availability. All this stuff has to do with improving the health of the soil. So as a customer, to be able to do due diligence, I think we'll really dismiss the snake oil, something from being snake oil versus something that's not. And like for us, what's been the most helpful has been our partnerships with the water districts, specifically Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, that they're actually, you know, we have rebate programs that we're on track to issue $140,000 in water rebate to one of our customers. You know, our first customer that we've got qualified for the program and did all the heavy lifting on that paperwork, but they're going to have their whole program paid for, plus what they saved in not buying that water or pumping that water.
So. Yeah, which is really interesting, because all of these things are measurable. And so you will either get the results or not.
Yep. So Greg, this is a great platform. Greg Elliott's the manager for Oracle Park. And he, you know, he'll tell me, you do too much. Us managers want to go out and solve one problem. We're going to buy one product that solves one problem. And what you're doing is so complicated and affects the management of the whole program. It affects the fertility program. It affects the fungicide applications. It affects the pesticide applications, the herbicide applications, the PGR applications, the wetting agent applications. It disrupts so much that it makes it a more complicated sale.
Yeah, interesting. you want to do that, right? But it's funny that that is the way it's perceived.
Right. And then the last thing I had was the biostimulant category. It's a large, relatively obscure segment of products in the market, and it's booming. It's growing. We're seeing a lot of adoption of biological products and amendments that are producing results and passing on value to customers.
Yeah,
across the board, all markets, all these markets. So I just kind of what we covered with the prior statements is, you know, due diligence, try it yourself, make sure you're measuring, are we achieving our desired outcome? Because a lot of these things in the biostimulant market are relatively low cost. So something I hear often is, well, what's it doing for you? You know, I'll ask, what's this doing for you? Well, we know it's not hurting and we believe in the philosophy, but what's it doing for you? Is it getting you, and now I can say this, is it getting you a six-figure rebate check from the water district? is it so inexpensive that money couldn't be better allocated elsewhere? You know, specifically going out and measuring and making sure that you have follow through with the products that you're using are actually providing you with the value that you need out of them.
Right, including the time and the labor you put in to do it.
Very true. Yep. Is this thing costing you 20 hours of spray rig time a year with a licensed applicator? You know, good questions to have. So that's all I had prepared. Again, I've got the websites, prmsoil.com, Instagram is @thesoilsurgeon. And best way to get a hold of me is through LinkedIn, is that QR code right there.
Yeah, Parker, this was great. This was really fascinating. It gives me a lot of hope, right? Makes me more optimistic about the future. You raise a lot of good points. And I think that anybody who is out looking to make improvements to their farm, their golf course, or baseball stadium certainly is better prepared now to go on that journey. So I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. As our water supply becomes more questionable, our quantity and our quality, you know, managing salts is a whole nother presentation that we can do with soil biology. But, you know, as the need increases, you know, great place to have conversations, you know, and thank you for having me and as a guest on your show and for sharing a handful of, I watched a bunch of your webinars to prepare. So really enjoyed that and everything that you're doing. So thank you, Richard.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thanks for mentioning that. And I want to tell everybody, you know, please reach out to Parker on LinkedIn, make that connection. It's a really great resource that you all have to take advantage of. So I really want you to do it. I also want to mention that we've got over 300 of these webinars now that you can find at janeusa.com/training that are available to you for no charge. And they're also available as a podcast too. You know, I always like the fact that people are out there working and educating at the same time. That's really motivating to what we all do. And so appreciate all those people that are downloading the podcast too. We're going to be off next week because it's Thanksgiving week, but we'll be back after the Irrigation Association show talking about the difference between real-time ET and historical ET. And I'll give you a hint, there's a big difference, and we're going to show you that. So again, Parker, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for tuning in today. Bye now.